Mishnah Yomis for Sunday, the fourth day of Iyar Tovshin Pei Dalad, Masechta Sota Perek Beis, Mishnah Hay. In the first two Mishnais, earlier on, we talked about what the rite for the Megillah of the Sota, the parchment, that gets dissolved afterwards in the water. But according to the Seder that it says in the Parsha of the Sota, the Kohen first makes the Sota give an oath, take an oath, before he writes the Megillah. The Mishnah, in our Mishnah, is going to deal with the acceptance of this oath that the Sota takes. Now, the Pasuk says that she accepts it because it says, V'omra ha'isha amen, amen. From here, Shmuel said that anyone who answers amen after an oath that's administered to him or her, it's as serious as producing the oath from their lips, as if they said the oath. Just by answering amen to someone who says, do you swear? And he says, yes, I do, or he says, amen, that is a shvur. Our Mishnah is going to teach us that by the woman saying amen twice, she accepts upon herself a shvur, not only in respect of the man who her husband warned her about, but through what's called Gilgul shvur, you can roll another oath into an oath that she's already got on her, or any man for that matter, if she any time had a relationship instead of a husband from anybody, not just from this man. And this is called Gilgul Shvur. From here we learn actually the principle of Gilgul Shvur, and that's why she says Amen twice. As the Mishnah says the Mishnah, Mishnah Hey, Almahi Omeris Amen Amen. For what purpose does she answer twice Amen when she's administered the oath by the Kohen? Amen Allah Allah. She's answering one, amen, for the oath, that in terms of the curse that the Kohen pronounced, that you will become an Allah, you'll become a curse among your people, your belly will fall, your thigh will fall, etc., your belly will swell. And amen, Allah shvur. And the other amen she says is for what the Kohen says to her, do you swear that no man slept with you, and if you, etc., etc. Furthermore, amen mi'izzeh, it says, amen, it's covering the man that she's accepting the oath regarding the man that her husband warned her about. And then, amen mishacher, and she's also accepting the oath in respect of any other man whom the husband did not warn her about, that she swears that if she sinned with another man, any other man, that the punishment will follow. Amen shalosotisi arusa. She says, amen, to confirm that she did not go astray when she was arusa, when she was just had kiddushin, or nesua, or amen, that she didn't have an affair after the nesua and after went through chuppah. V'shemeres yavam uchanusa. Now, shemeres yavam means a woman who's waiting for the levirate marriage, for the brother of a deceased husband to marry her, when she had no children, though there was no children of her deceased husband. She's called a shemeres yavam. And while she's a Shemeres Yavam, while she's waiting for the Yavam to perform the act of Yibum, to marry her, she now agrees that she swears that I did not go astray, I did not go to any other man after I became eligible for Yibum, Shemeres Yavam, or Uknusa, or after I've already been married to her. Let's say the Yavam already married her. Now, what's interesting here is how serious is the Avera, the sin, of living with another man while she's waiting for the other, while she's in that Shemeres Yavam. Now, she's not really an Eish HaSish yet. She's connected to the Yavam. She's waiting now for the brother of her deceased husband to marry her. So it seems from our Mishnah that this must be very serious because the only type of relationship that she has to swear that she didn't enter is one which would invalidate her to go to a husband, which would prohibit her going to a husband. Now, the halacha is that a shemeres yavam, although not allowed to go to any other man before the yavam does the act of yibum, marries her, or gives a chalitza, if she does, however, go and have an affair with someone in the meantime, it's not as serious to stop her going through with the yavam later. So why does our Mishnah mention it? Why did that she has to swear Shemeres Yavam Uknusa, that she didn't even sin while she was a Shemeres Yavam? And the answer the Gemara brings is because our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva held that a woman who is Shemeres Yavam, even if she's not technically married yet to the Yavam, but she's waiting for the Yavam for to perform the act of Yibum to her, to marry her, and she went and had an affair with someone else in the meantime, she would be forbidden to the Yavam like an Eish HaSish would be who had an affair. And she would have to have Chalitza, not Yibum. As we said, the halacha is not like this, but this Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbi Kiva, and that's why it mentions Shemes Yavam as one of the cases. Continues the Mishnah, Amen Shalinit Mesi, when she says Amen, it covers the fact that she says I did not have an affair, Ve'imnit Mesi, and that if I did have an affair, Yavo Yubi, let the waters come and do what they have to do to me. In other words, she's accepting the curse. Now, according to Rashi and according to Bar Tanura, they explain that when the Mishnah says here, Loinit Mesi, Ve'imnit Mesi Yavo Yubi, this is really explaining the first part of the Mishnah. That in the beginning of the Mishnah, when she said Amen twice, she says Amen for the Olah, Amen for the Shvua, i.e. Amen for the curse, Amen for the oath. And what does that mean? Says the Mishnah, it means she swears, Amen Shalanit Mesi, she says she takes on the oath that I did not make myself Tameh, meaning that's the Shvua. And that if I did have an affair, then I swear that then I accept the oath, the curse that will come upon me. So it's really explaining what we had before in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Amen Shalei Nitmesi, Amen Shalei Tomei. He says, why does it say twice? Amen, one, that she says, I swear that I did not have an affair. And number two, that I will not have an affair. Rabbi Meir adds that the Gilgal Shvuah that she has to take is not just for the past, but for the future. And according to Rabbi Meir, what would happen is that if in the future, if she does have an affair while she's married, then the waters that she drank now will have this prolonged effect and will cause the damage to her body then as well. That's how Rabbi Meir learns. Now that we've learned in the previous Mishnah that there is a concept of a Gilgul Shavuah, we roll into the primary oath that she did not sin while she was married to this man. We also roll over the fact that other relationships that maybe she would be Osur in, but to exclude any relationship that she may have had or will have that will not render her forbidden to a husband. Let's have a look at this Mishnah. Hakol Shovin, everybody agrees, that's Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, they are both of the opinion, She'enoi Masna Imo, that he would not, the husband would not make a Tanai with his wife who was a Soita, would not include in the Shvuah, Loyal Kodem Shetisores, not for a relationship that happened before she had Erisin, V'loy Al Me'acha Shetisgarish, nor for a relationship after she became divorced. And the reason is because if she did have an affair before she had Erisin or after she had Gerushin, after she was divorced, she doesn't become Osur to husband. She's not a married woman then. Nistira la'acher v'nitmeis, if she had Stira and she became Tomei, if she went in hiding and she had an affair after she had was divorced, v'acher kacher zira, and afterwards the husband took her again, lohoya masnima. The Kohen would not make a Shvuah with her on that. That would not be Gilgal Shvuah on that. And the reason is because if she had an affair before he remarried her, and after he divorced her, that would not make her prohibited to him. She's not Osatim. She's not an Eish HaSish then. So really, the Mishnah is now explaining what we mean by Loyal Kodim Shetisaras V'loyal Achash in this Amitanash Garish, not before she got married or after she had divorced. Zeaklal, this is the rule. Kol Shetiboil, any case where if she had an affair, V'lohoisa Asuraloi, she would not be prohibited to him. That means even if she did Znus, she had an affair, she would not be asked to her husband, as we've just explained. For any such relationship, Lohoya Masn Ima, the Kohen was not interested in making her give a Shvuah for that. Because that type of an affair would not render her forbidden to her husband, and that's why it would never be included in the Shavuah. The Gemara infers from here that any case where had she had an affair, she would be Osa to him. For that, there would be a Gilgal Shavuah. That would be included in the oath. And therefore, for example, a yavam, the brother-in-law or the brother of the deceased husband who had no children, if he married the yavama, if he went through and he now took her and lived with her, and then she became a sota, then he would add, is the Gilgul Shavua, he would add in, I want you to swear that you didn't sin or you didn't have an affair when you were married to his brother, the deceased husband. That he would include. Because had she done that, had she had an affair while the deceased husband, the deceased brother was married to her, she'd be ossered to this Yavam as well. As we know, if he dies and without children, the halacha is chaletzes v'lo misabemes. She has to have chalitza and she doesn't even have yibum. Similarly, if a person took back his own wife that he divorced. So, man divorced his wife. Then he remarried her, which he's allowed to do, unless he's a kohen, he married her, and unless she got married to someone in between. So he remarried his divorced wife. And then she became a sota, and he takes her to the kohen, to the Beis HaMikdash, and the kohen does the shvua, administers the oath, and she says, amen, amen. Again, there would be a gilgul shvua, the kohen would include in that oath, that she had not had an affair with another man while she was married to this man the first time, not just now, the first time as well. Because had she done that, she would indeed be also for him forever.